Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Jimmy Butler had a career game last night to keep the series interesting against LeBron and the Lakers. With Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic both out due to injury, Butler had a 40-point triple-double in Miami's 115-104 win. LeBron and Anthony Davis only combined for 40 points. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us this morning. Chris, it is so good to have you. Here's the thing. Earlier on the show, Skip said this was the biggest upset in NBA Finals history. Do you agree?
Wow. Well, first of all, let me be honest. I generally don't think of individual games in the finals, you know, in terms of biggest upsets, because ultimately, if you don't win the series, it really doesn't matter. I will say this. If the Heat were to win this series, I do think this would be the biggest upset in finals history. But as far as individual games, I cannot give this to the Heat for a few reasons. Number one, the Lakers, this, as great as Jimmy Butler was and the rest of his players, this was more about the Lakers just laying down, just being complacent, overconfident, you know, not executing. They shot more than half of their field goal attempts were three-pointers. I believe that's the first time in history that's ever been the case in a Lakers game. So they weren't playing their game. They got away from themselves, and that's a big part of why the Heat won, because the Lakers took them lightly. Secondly, the Heat didn't have to deal with any type of adversity as far as being on the road and a raucous crowd that's against you. They didn't have to deal with any of that. So I look at two series in particular where I would say individual games were bigger upsets than what we saw last night. I'll go to the 04 Pistons when they upset the Shaq, Kobe, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Lakers. Now, we know that series was a huge upset. They won in five. But I would say the Pistons winning game 3 and 4 were bigger than last night because they had the Lakers' full attention. Like, they win game one, the Lakers, okay, everybody was telling them they were going to smack Detroit around, so they take them lightly, they lose. They come back and win game two. But games 3 and 4, the Lakers were on alert, and the Pistons still beat them. Then I would go to the 2001 Philadelphia 76ers over the Lakers again, Shaq, Kobe. Game one. Now remember, the Lakers had run through the West. They had swept through the West. Portland, led by Rasheed Wallace. Sacramento, led by Chris Webber at the height of his powers. San Antonio, led by Tim Duncan and David Robinson. The Lakers swept them. They get to the finals. Here come the little Philadelphia 76ers, led by Allen Iverson. In the Staples Center, Iverson puts 48 on them, and they win game one. So that would, to me, those three would have been bigger than what we saw last night. I would say last night was more like 1999 when the New York Knicks, the eighth-seeded Knicks without Patrick Ewing, they got Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell, Marcus Camby. They win game three against the Spurs. The Spurs had won the first two games. They weren't worried about the Knicks. They lost game three, and they win 4 and 5 and ended in five games. I thought that's what this was like last night.
Go ahead. You want to go? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chris, got big issues with everything you just said. I want to put this in perspective for everyone out there. In game one of this series, the Miami Heat lost their leading scorer in the playoffs, Goran Dragic, and they lost Bam, who is their heart and soul player, and he had led them through the playoffs in rebounds and assists and blocking shots. Well, that's so much that you lost from the top of your team that you're left with the Jimmy Butler, who's not a prolific scorer. In the closeout game against Indiana, he scored 6. Along the trail against Milwaukee and then Boston, he had a 13-point game and a 14-point game. He is happy to score little because he's got little to no ego. So for him to have the greatest 40-point triple-double in the history of the finals, even greater than LeBron's back in 2015 Game 5 when they lost badly. They lost by 14 to Golden State. Or Jerry West, if you want to go all the way back to 1969, the closeout game, it went overtime, and they did lose it by 2. So they were both in defeat. But in this case, this was Jimmy Butler against the Lakers. This was Jimmy Butler against the two best players by far on the floor in AD and LeBron. This was Jimmy Butler going head-to-head with LeBron and guarding him much of the game and outplaying him head-to-head, outwilling him, out-trash-talking him, and in the end, outlasting him, because I think Jimmy, obviously LeBron's at age 35, ending year 17, Jimmy is able to play at a higher level longer in these games, going into the 45-minute range, than LeBron is at his advanced age. So given all that, given the fact that nobody gave them a shot last night, I give you the 2001 game because the odds makers said that was a 12-point game. This was a 9-point game last night. But when you're betting against Allen Iverson and Dikembe Mutombo, both in the Hall of Fame, and to your point, Iverson goes off with 48 and 5 steals, and Mutombo has 13, 16 rebounds and 5 blocks. Your Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame. Last night, it was just Jimmy Butler against the world, and he didn't get much help from his starting lineup because they weren't very good last night. If you look at what did the Heat do? Jay Crowder in the starting lineup was 2 for 8. Duncan Robinson was 3 of 10 from 3.
Hero was all right.
Yeah, and he shot
Hero
6.
Was great late.
Okay, but he was 6 of 18 total. So he had a long stretch where he was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
So they are starting Tyler Hero at age 20, the youngest player ever to start in a finals game. I'm sorry, that's the greatest upset single game ever under the circumstance when they should have been demoralized. They should have been down and out because they had lost their two best players so far in the playoffs.
But, Skip, when I look at it, look, in a vacuum, no question about it, Bam is better than Olynyk. But Bam plays right into the Lakers' hands because it allows them to play their big lineup. It allows them to play AD at the 4, plays Dwight Howard at the 5, get another big. LeBron is a point guard, but another big. Well, when you bring Olynyk in, now all of a sudden Dwight Howard has to play above the 3-point line. So his ability to block shots, his ability to rebound, to challenge shots, is negated because he has to honor Kelly Olynyk. He has to honor Myers Leonard. They don't have to worry about that with Bam because Bam isn't shooting threes. So in a vacuum, absolutely, Bam is better than both players. But he plays directly into their hands. Skip, you told me from that stretch, from 2000 to like 03, Shaquille O'Neal was the most dominant force we had ever seen. If you look at his finals numbers, he's 38 and 16. And Allen Iverson, a 5'11 guy, come in and beat him and Kobe? And
wait, Dikembe's 7'2"?
Yeah, but Shaq.
5 blocks
and Kobe,
16 rebounds?
And Kobe. And I agree with you. I went with the Bad Boy Pistons, too. You do realize, right, even though the Pistons won game 2, it took Kobe hitting a 3 to send the game in overtime for them to win game 2.
Mm.
So I also agree with you, Chris. I'm not a guy that looks at a game within the game because this is a series. If you don't win the series, who cares about game 1? Yeah, it's a great story, and you can have, you know, if a guy goes to the Hall of Fame, you can play this as a great black drop. But you got to win. This is not football. This is not an individual situation where it's one game and you win. But for me, I still believe, and I agree with what you said, Chris. I believe the 0-1 Lakers loss and the 0-4 Lakers loss in game 1 were bigger upsets than this.
Mm. And I think,
Skip, I'll give you that. I think Jimmy Butler's performance was historic. And we've rarely seen him just be that type of playmaker, you know, where he's handling the ball like a LeBron, like a James Harden, and he's creating for everybody. Like, he showed us some stuff that we really haven't seen a lot from him. His passing ability, he had some terrific passes. Obviously, offensively, he was hot, able to score. But I'll give you that it was from a non-superstar, Butler at this rate, not a Hall of Famer, right? I mean, he'd have to go on a nice tear to do that. So this was a tremendous individual performance by him that can go down historically. But I think this was just more about the Lakers just not showing up. And LeBron got outside of himself and was forcing the action. That's why he had so many turnovers. AD obviously had one of those. It seems like every several playoff games, he has a clunker where he only takes like 9 shots or only gets a handful of rebounds. And I thought that's what this was more about. And even still, the Lakers almost won.
Yeah, with 8:45 left, Rondo makes one up off the glass, and Lakers are up 2. And I thought, oh, LeBron's got this one. And in the fourth quarter, LeBron stunk it up. Let's not give him a pass.
No,
he had 4 turnovers, and he went 0-for-3 from 3. Mm-hmm. If he'd made any one of those threes, they were wide open, uncontested. They could have felt like dagger kind of shots where it'd be like, oh, no, we can't overcome that. If he'd made any one of them, especially if he'd made 2 of them, we'd be having a different conversation. So it was a shameful loss. LeBron owes his team. Tomorrow night, game 4, and here we go.
When you ever known LeBron James not to pay it back?
I don't know.
Pay it back in full.
Oh, well, he didn't pay it back against Dallas
especially
in 2011
when Butler
finals,
talking
did
trash?
He?
Yeah. And I told
him. When Butler talking trash?
Yeah, you remember the last time?
Wait, no, LeBron started it.
That's what Jimmy said.
You guys
Jimmy
are
word?
In trouble, he said LeBron to Jimmy after the first
quarter.
Jimmy
should have let it go.
Should have let it go.
Really?
But we didn't hear LeBron say that. We heard Jimmy say
that. Well, then LeBron let it go because he walked off the court with 10 seconds left, and Pat Riley will not love that. And he will be talking to his team about that.
Well, we got to talk. Don't worry about it. We're going to talk to our team. Jeannie Buss going to have a conversation with our team. Yeah,
it's not a good look. Whatever LeBron had to say about it, I didn't like it. Chris, we appreciate you joining us this morning. We'll check in soon.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Dak Prescott has gotten off to a historic start statistically. He is now the only quarterback to ever pass for over 450 yards in 3 straight games, and he now also holds the record for most yards through a 3-game stretch. Dak also leads the league in passing by over 300 yards, but the Cowboys are only 1-3. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick joining us this morning. Mike, it is great to have you. So here's the question. Despite Dak leading the league in passing yards, are the Cowboys actually just a bad football team?
Well, I will say this. They're not bad offensively, but defensively, they're bad. And before I get into my point, I just want to highlight one play, the reverse to Odell Beckham that I think sealed the game. Obviously, Alden Smith had a chance to make the play in the backfield, which would have been a game-changing play. And Odell, as talented and as athletic as he is, makes the play. But if you see these two guys, I think it was a safety and a linebacker that just ran completely out of bounds, ran right past Odell Beckham and didn't make the tackle. That's unacceptable. And you know, I got Pop Warner teams that I sponsor that will allow those guys to get away with that, but not in the National Football League. If you watch this safety and this linebacker, they ran right out of bounds like they didn't see Odell. And that summed it all up yesterday, that the offense needs help. The defense is not, you know, playing up to par by any standard or any stretch. And, you know, we can say it's a plug-and-play attitude right now with the guys. You got guys hurt and injured, and they've just been plugged in. But they're better than that. And if this was the roster that they started out the season with, then I will be saying overall they're a bad football team because now the defense don't have any excuses. But, I mean, in terms of just, you know, football 101, I mean, that's just tackling and putting your hands on the guy or seeking a football. You know, those guys looked like they didn't even see Odell. They ran right past him, almost like they were starstruck. It was unbelievable to watch. And the offense isn't getting any help. So, and therefore, not a bad offense, bad defense.
So I'm just trying to figure out how we do this in a team sport. We can differentiate. How we do that, Mike? So is it not? So it's the Dallas Cowboys offense against the Dallas Cowboys defense, or are we a team? So if we're a team, we bad, right? Because even if the
exactly.
Okay, how about this? How about I give it to you like this? The defense right now is historically bad, and the offense is inconsistent. Because when the score was tied 14-14, Dak Prescott and that offense went five straight possessions, got five first downs, and Dak was 8 of 15 for 53 yards. Is that good?
No, that's bad. But, I mean, look, they got defense on the other side of the ball, too. So,
Mike, that's not what you said. You said the Cowboys' offense is good. So, are the defenses
I'm saying they play up to standard. I mean, they score 40 points, however you look at it. You know, that's enough to win the game. At some point, the defense got to make stops.
Well, how are you scoring those 40?
Championships.
I want to know how you get those 40. Are they coming when you're down by 27, you're down by 19, you're down by 16? I'm just trying to say, are you getting those in the Florida game?
It don't matter how they come, Shannon, as long as the points come when needed.
I tell you what's coming.
At some point, the defense got – if they make a stop right there, if they make the tackle on Odell, they could get 3 instead of 7. It changes the dynamic of the whole game.
I tell you what I've seen from the Cowboys at the first quarter of the season, I've seen more L's than dubs. Now, that's what I see. Now, we can go back and forth about offense good, defense bad, or this and that, but all I know is that you keep telling me this offense is good, but they keep catching the males.
Okay, let me sum this up for both of you. I'm a lifelong Dallas Cowboy fan, and I have never seen anything this putridly bad. This is nothing but a bad football team from start to finish. If maybe my offense could play my defense every Sunday, maybe I'd be 4-0. But it doesn't work like that. So what does it often tell you guys? You guys know football. You guys were really good at football. If you are dead last in turnover ratio at -7, what does that tell you about your team?
Your team is turning over and you're not getting it.
That's correct. You're just bad. What does it tell you when you have allowed the most points by far in pro football? You're just bad. What does it tell you when yesterday at home as a 5.5-point favorite, you allowed 307 rush yards, a franchise worst? They started in 1960. No Cowboy team has ever given up 307 rushing yards. What was it, 7.7 yards a crack?
Yep.
That's like
and
the old tubes. That's like the old Oklahoma wishbone days,
yes.
Right? With Greg Pruitt and Joe Washington running
away. Yep.
Okay, so the point is, in the end, I don't care about all the sis-boom-ba on the offense. I don't care that Dak is leading the league in passing yards. I don't care that yesterday in the fourth quarter, he threw for 254 on 21 of 30. He had a good game in the fourth quarter. They were hopelessly behind. I am tired of watching the same Halloween horror movie 4 straight times. It's the same show. Same song, 4th verse, right? You fall hopelessly behind. Your quarterback's a warrior, and he tries to dig you out of a hole that he helped dig. He should have had 4 picks yesterday, and he had 1 and lost a fumble. You can't overcome that when you're just a bad football team.
Correct.
And then Michael Vick thank you for bringing up the Odell play, because Aldon Smith actually did his job. He made Odell bend it back 20 yards, 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage. What usually happens when a play gets bent back 20 yards? The defense rallies to the football. Shouldn't you have had eight defenders over there just waiting to make the tackle? Shouldn't it have been a five-yard loss at best? And to Michael's point, nobody even tried. They ran past him like they were starstruck. Let's just let him run.
Skip, if you look at it, Odell was thinking about running out of bounds.
Wait, you're not going to tackle me? I think I'll keep running and I'm going to score.
What happened, Vic?
I'm saying, why is the linebacker Smith the last guy in pursuit? Is he the last guy chasing Odell? The play started off on the left side. I mean, with the flow of the play from the left side, it ended up to the right. The safety should have already been tracking the ball.
Like, yeah.
I mean, come on, we got Smith. The safety is 28. It just don't make sense. So, yes, this is summing up to be some bad football by the Dallas Cowboys.
It's just bad football. And, Michael, to your point, you roar back into the game. You're only down 3 with 3:42 left. And the first thing you do is you do another weird squib kick that they just catch and run with and get it out to the 50-yard line. You can't give them that kind of field position. And then they call a trick play that nobody tries to tackle Odell on. Really?
Yeah, I love it.
What are you doing?
Hey, y'all cowboy.
Yeah.
To Skip's point, I'm really tired after 4 weeks of watching the Cowboys come from behind. I mean, consecutive weeks of the same game flow, the same type of game. It's the same visual. I got the direct ticket. I had to go to another game because I just didn't feel like this was going to turn out the right, you know, with the right outcome for Dallas. And, you know, I instantly started getting my mind ready for this conversation that we was going to have this morning.
Thank you.
So you know them. Yeah. I've only been a part of it. I don't know, Mike, how many teams you've been a part of. I've only been a part of one team that's ever rushed for 300 yards, and that was in a playoff game against Jacksonville after they beat us the first time, Skip. We made sure that didn't happen again. We beat the brakes off of
them. At Denver?
Yeah, it was at Denver.
All right.
Do you understand what it takes, the mindset? First of all, running is the hardest thing you'll do in the NFL because you're moving a man against his will. He says, I'm not going anywhere. And I'm saying, the hell you not. And to move him and to get, look how many guys skipped their head with 70 plus yards. One guy 13 for 95. Odell had 2 carries for 73. Kareem Hunt had 11 for 73. Nick Chubb got injured. He had 6 for 43 before he got up out the game. So they might have been at 400 had Chubb stayed in the ball game. This is unacceptable. They got too many guys making too much money on that side of the football. But you look at that touchdown run by Odell, that's effort. That ain't anything else.
That's just effort. And lack of heart.
Yes. Yes. But when if they put that together, they should come in and watch that as a team and just show that play right there. And Mike McCarthy says, this is why we lost the game. Now, I want you to tell me, you giving me effort on this play right here.
Mm. All right. Boy. Well, now the Giants come to town for the Cowboys.
Let's go, Giants. Come on, Jason Garrett.
Put them out of their misery.
That'll be an interesting.
Oh, Danny Dimes.
Too proud of the records they have. Mike, we appreciate you. We'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
LeBron and the Lakers missed their opportunity to take a 3-0 series lead over the Heat last night. While that would have all but guaranteed a Lakers title, LeBron remained confident after the Game 3 loss moving forward. Take a listen.
I know how resilient that bunch is and how resilient their coaching staff is and their franchise. So, I don't ever feel like we went into it and haven't let our guard down. I don't feel like we're concerned. We're not concerned. We know we can play a lot better. We have another opportunity to take a commanding lead on Tuesday.
Okay, so Shannon, will the Lakers take a commanding lead tomorrow night?
Yes. I've said it before. I don't believe they'll lose another game in this series. And I believe Friday night it'll be over. The Lakers understand that they can't be careless, reckless with the basketball. This team comes out every night. Or whatever, the Heat comes out every night believing they belong here. I'm like, look who we beat to get here. It's not like, everybody just decided not to come and they just threw us in the Eastern Conference. You know, we're the representative. We beat teams to get here. Now, really, Skip, I'll be honest, the only team that I picked them to beat was Indiana. I was like, they're going to beat Indiana. They ain't going to do anything. I was like, nah, they're not going to. I said, I think it'd go six games, but I think the Bucks will get them. And then I thought the Celtics would get them, you know, would get Miami once they got past Milwaukee. But watching them play and how they execute in crucial moments, they're going to be a tough out. And I think the Lakers realize that they're a tough out. But the Lakers, as poorly as Skip with 20 turnovers and as poorly as they shot the ball and as close as rebounding the margin was, the Lakers still had an opportunity to win this game.
Absolutely.
So many things. Do you believe Jimmy Butler is capable of having another historic night like this? I do not. And without that type of a historic performance, I don't believe they can do it. Mm. I know LeBron and AD are capable of going for 60, having 20-plus rebounds, having 20-plus assists. That is what I expect. I expect those role players because when LeBron and AD go off, they seem to gain confidence and the ball seems to go in the hoop more. Mm. So I expect them to do exactly what LeBron said, play a lot better and take a commanding lead tomorrow night.
Mm. I must admit, I was stunned at how blasé and nonchalant LeBron was after the game. I don't know if his pride was hurt and he wanted to just sort of shrug and almost yawn and say, we got this, because that's how I interpreted what we just saw.
He's the leader. And the leader can't show that he's concerned.
Do you remember what happened down the stretch of game one? They had been up 32 and they lost a little bit of the lead and LeBron went crazy yelling at everybody, you can't do that.
Yep.
After the game, he was steamed about it. He was much angrier after game one in which they had pulled off a, what was it, 77-32 run in the middle of that game. He was much unhappier with that game than he was with this game last night. And I'm like, LeBron, aren't you going to send a message? You got to take this far more seriously.
Well, I think the thing was, Skip, is that he realized how well they played offensively. He knows they didn't play well offensively last night. He knows they can play better. He's saying, if we play our best, they play our best, we crush them by 20. When they play their best and we play our B, C, we play our C or D game, this is what happens. So he says, guys, we're not going to panic. We're going to watch. Ain't no practice in that, Skip. It's all film study, shoot around, and get the blood flowing. That's it. Let's look at this tape, see what we did here, see what we did there. We'll correct these mistakes, and we'll do what we do. Mm. It's going to be big, big. Mm. I'm talking about I'm saying somewhere between 125 and 135. Mm. That would the Lakers score tomorrow.
To what?
It's going to be a whole lot to a few. We beating them by 15.
By 15?
15.
I think you were going for more like 20 or 30.
Nah. I'm saying like, I say, you know what? I'll say 130, 115.
Mm. You should, and I believe you will, win this game by 25 points.
25?
You're that much better than this shorthanded, undermanned, just outmatched team. They have lost their leading scorer in the playoff. They have lost their leading rebounder, leading assist man, leading shot blocker, and Bam. And I'm pretty sure neither is coming back. I think Bam would have a better chance than Dragic to come back.
But I hope Bam comes back.
I'm going to doubt that.
I hope he comes back.
Because you think they're a much better test for you with Kelly Olynyk or Myers Leonard in the lineup.
Because
and I'm laughing at that the very prospect of Kelly Olynyk scares you more than Bam does.
Because Kelly Olynyk, Skip, he caught when Bam got hurt, he came in and got a rhythm. Remember on game two, he had 24. So he's shooting the three ball well. Mm-hmm. And so that's what concerns me is that that's why I was never concerned about Portland. You can't play those two bigs. You play into our hands. Now, Houston gave me some concern because they can stretch the floor. But then when we went Marcus, we were still bigger than they were because they had no answer for AD.
Mm.
Now you got two guys that can stretch the floor that can shoot threes that are perfectly fine shooting the threes. And so the difference is that Bam is looking for the pick and roll. He's looking to get to the rim. These other guys are looking pick and roll. They're pick and pop. They'll shoot the three ball on you. So that concerns me.
Fox Bet has dropped the betting line from 9 points down to 7 points.
Okay.
So if you were a betting man, Shannon Sharp, you should get a bunch of this.
Yeah, I want all that.
You want all that. You could retire off this one game.
Bet it.
Why don't you just bet the ranch.
Whatever.
The palatial estate on it.
Like my grandma say, whatever little piece of money I got, I'll bet it on the Lakers.
Okay, here we go. No mercy.
The Eagles pulled off an upset against the Niners last night thanks to Philly's defense forcing three turnovers. The first win for the Eagles means they are now just 1-2-1, but that's good enough to sit atop the NFC East in first place. So, Skip, what did the Eagles show you last night? I shouldn't laugh.
The Eagles showed me that right now they are better than my Dallas Cowboys, especially on defense, because they can flat out rush the passer. They were all over Nick Mullins all night. He had thrown for 346 at Giants, and they bedeviled him. They tormented him into three turnovers and hung in a game that Carson Wentz finally won, throwing to somebody off the practice squad.
Yay.
And I admired your man, bounce it to him, Wentz, because he was still bouncing it to him, but he hung in there and hung on, made some plays with his legs where he's at his best getting outside the pocket, and he gutsed it up and made one big throw that won the game. And I must tell you, seriously, I was relieved after the nightmare I'd gone through earlier in the day. I was relieved that my team wasn't tied for first in the NFC least. It doesn't deserve it. My team's just a bad football team. Maybe it'll get a little better, but I don't want to see this team be a default division champ. I don't want to see a counterfeit playoff team that has a home playoff game in the first round that it gets blown off the field and embarrassed in. I'm sick and tired of watching that. I'd rather the Eagles go ahead and sort of come back together around, walk it to them, and maybe Jalen Hurts will contribute here and there. They tried to get him three or four plays going last night, and they should represent the East right now because they at least look like somewhat of a legitimate football team.
Now you see why I gave him the nickname Walk It To Him.
Because of what?
You saw what he did last night. You saw that throw?
Wasn't walk it to him. That was a floater up into the heavens.
Nah.
In fact, the receiver, Fulgham, said, I lost it in the lights.
And all he did was put his hands. He lost it in the light. Yeah. He just stuck his hands up and the ball landed in it like it had GPS tracking.
Yeah.
Boom.
He's been the most inaccurate passer in the league the first three
Amazon
games.
Dropped that package off using the drone.
Really?
Yeah, I thought the drone had dropped it off to him. But hold on. This is what Wentz is throwing to. Now, he doesn't have D-Jack. No Alshon. His first-round pick, Jalen Reagor, is in on IR. So his wide receiver group last night was fifth-rounder rookie Hightower, Greg Ward Jr.
I love him. I told you I loved him last year.
Who was a converted QB.
Yep.
And two practice squad guys, Dante Burnett and Travis Fulgham.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he don't have a CeeDee Lamb.
Mm.
He doesn't have a Michael Gallup. He doesn't have an Amari Cooper.
But he has a defense.
Walk it to him.
He has a defense.
Walk it to him.
Dak has no defense. Dak can't play safety.
The Cowboys defense is with Dak. When you had the ball five times and you got 53 yards, what did you have then?
Yep.
What were you doing then?
I don't know, but I'm not sure my team can beat the Giants, and that would really put my
Danny
team out
of yep. Watch Danny Dimes throw for 300.
You think so?
Well, he
should.
I would feel a lot better if he had Saquon, but since they don't have anybody that can run the football, they probably won't be able to rush the ball like everybody else has been able to run the ball down your throat. Mm. But anyway.
He could throw for 300 underhanded.
I want to talk about my guy that happens to be right now at the quarter pole in first place with no Alshon, no D-Jack, no Jalen Reagor. Miles Sanders been nicked up. Oh, Jason Peters is on IR. The left tackle that they took in the first round, he's on IR. Barrett is on IR.
Yep.
They just got back the last couple of games. They got back Lane Johnson.
But he got hurt last night. You know, he was out.
And he's doing that and walking to him doing all of this with that.
He sucked it up.
Give him Amari, give him Gallup, give him CeeDee, give him Wilson, give him Noah Brown, give him Schultz.
Give Dak the Philly defense, and Dak would be 4-0 right now.
If you gave Dak the Philly defense with that offense, Dak would be 0-4 just like he is right now.
Mm.
Can you imagine that? Because we saw what Dak was when he couldn't throw to Amari. Remember, that's why they went and gave up two first-rounders to get Amari.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Dak was doing with practice squad guy. Look at what my guy doing with practice squad guy. Can you imagine if he had A++ receivers? What?
Your guy was really shaky much of the night last night.
And won.
But at least he didn't throw it except one time to the other team.
What my guy don't do? Don't say the best for last. Wait till I get down 29.
I think he did, actually.
No, he didn't. No mercy.